My name is Corey Keith. I'm from the Show Me State of Missouri, and man, you guys need to send us some rain. That's all I've got to say. We're lacking about 7 inches, and our pastures aren't very tall right now. But anyway, on a side note, are you sure I don't need to go back to that other mic? You sure? Okay. All right. Anyway, as I was saying, you know, a lot of you guys know who I am. I announce rodeos for a living. I forgot to tell the first service. I actually have the Oklahoma High School Finals this year, so I'll be back out here in June. And a lot of you guys probably been to the 4th of July rodeo at Canadian, Texas. I've also got that one booked as well, so I hope to see y'all at those two events. But anyway, you know, last week I was at church, finally at home there, and we've got this poster. I say it's a poster. It's, you know, it's a picture of all the men and women, all of our veterans that have fought in our church. And we honor them with this plaque on the wall. And there was this little boy in there, and he was standing there looking at this plaque, and he just kept there standing. I mean, he was just standing there. And our pastor walked out there, and he said, What are you doing? Like, he's just sitting up there. He's like, well, Pastor, what is this? And the pastor went on to say, he said, well, hey, look, that's a picture of all the men and women who have, you know, fought for the country. They've died in service. They've died in services, in their services. And he said, he looked up there again, and he looked back at Pastor Dylan. He said, which service, the 9:30 or the 10:30 service? But, you know, today's message is set about salvage titles, and we're going to try to not chase very many rabbits like we did the first service. So y'all maybe we have a little bit warmed up now. But, you know, it's funny, a lot of us drive salvage titled vehicles, which there's nothing wrong with that. That's not what I'm trying to get at today. But we do have a picture of some of the, there's a truck right there that's got a salvage title. And do we have the picture of the people who drive the vehicles with salvage titles? We have that? Yeah. There's David right there. He was our band leader. And that would be a prime example. And Matt and Tiffany, this service is for you this afternoon. But anyway, we've had enough fun. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, I just thank you for this day. Father, I just thank you so much for this church. Father, I'm so humbled and for another opportunity to come out here and speak. And Father, I just thank you so much that you're going to remove me right now. And Father, you are just going to consume this place. Father, that last song just moved me. Father, and I know it moved everybody else in this room. And Father, we can feel your presence. And Father, I just thank you so much that you're going to come change our lives today. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. So salvage titles is our title today. So, and the reason I've kind of come up with this salvage title outlook, I've just purchased a truck, and or another truck, different truck, and I also purchased a living quarters trailer because I'll be staying in that this summer as I travel to rodeos and whatnot. And I got to thinking, would I have bought a trailer with a salvage title, or would I have bought a truck with a salvage title? Well, my answer was, well, shoot, no, I'm not going to buy one with a salvage title. And the reason I thought of this, I was driving home from school one day this week, and I was praying for this service. I said, God, I don't know what you want me to talk about. That's usually how it goes. Last night, I opened up the Word, and He sent me a whole new direction, so here we are. When it comes to Scripture, the idea is the same. But the scripture changed last night about 11 o'clock. So we're flying on the seat of our Wranglers here. And so anyway, I was thinking salvage titles, and I was praying. And one of my buddies back home, there's a few people back home that have been struggling with marriages and just relationships and just different things. And a lot of people are feeling really guilty. Like just feeling really guilty. And I called my buddy. As soon as it hit me, I was like, man, I gotta put my title in my trailer in my truck, you know, because them police officers, they see me and they're just, I'm on the side of the road just flipping a finger. I was like, I need that title. They're going to think I stole this trailer. Well, I got thinking about this, and I thought, salvage title. And immediately I called my buddy. I called him. I said, hey, look. I said, God does not give us salvage titles. I said, He doesn't give us salvage titles at all. He said, I know you feel guilty. I mean, you're just begging for forgiveness. But I'm telling you right now, God has already forgiven you. Do you guys believe that? Do you guys believe in that this morning? Yeah. He's already forgiven you. And the reason the salvage title, because at some point, this awesome picture, by the way, I did not pick this. We just fly on the edge of our seats when I come here, which I really like. So at some point, this truck drove off the lot, and it was brand new. It was brand new, not a scratch on it, no miles. You drove it off the lot, you're feeling good. It's brand new. And then all of a sudden, you know, you get in your first hailstorm, you know, get a little hail damage on it. Then you run into somebody, a cow comes up and kicks your door. I've seen that happen a time or two. Don't ever tie cows to the truck, or the tractor, for that matter. Wasn't me, it was a neighbor, we'll just put it that way. But they're going to get beat up, and they're going to get ran over. And you know, that comes with life. You know, we're going to go through trials and struggles in life. And I talked about that last time I was here. But this time, I want to try to revert that around to forgiveness. About how God doesn't see. He doesn't see the hail damage. He doesn't see the dents. He doesn't see where that crazy cow ran right into the side of your truck. Or he doesn't see where your crazy ex-girlfriend came out there with an axe hammer and beat in the hood. He doesn't see that. He doesn't see that. And he does not take it away from you if you're an OU fan. Amen. I got lots of amens on that one. I like that. No, but we are going to be in lots of scripture today. We're going to cover lots of ground. I hope this makes sense. And we're going to go to Romans chapter 5 to start here. And it says, basically to sum this up before we read it, we are made complete in Christ. So we'll start reading at chapter 5, and I have a Life Application Bible, and I'm going to encourage you guys, if you don't have a Bible yet, or maybe you have a Bible and sometimes you don't quite understand what's going on, I really like the Life Application Bible because it has little footnotes at the bottom. Now, they're not always true. It needs to be Spirit-led because somebody else wrote these footnotes, but it does help. It does help you lead somewhere else. But chapter 5, it says, peace and hope. That's the title of this passage. It says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have the peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of the Lord. And not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that sufferings produce perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, and hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts. Remember that. It's been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And I'm going to pause right there. And I have wrote a note here. He has given us the power to overcome things. And when I say that, I'm talking about he's given us the power to do lots of things. But today I'm going to be talking about forgiveness. He's given us the power to realize we're forgiven. He's given us the power that we need to forgive others the way that we want people to forgive us. And he also forgives us when we feel guilty. You know, guilty, condemnation. But he loves us. So if we go on to 6, it says, you see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. So that's me. He died for me. There it is. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In verse 9, it says, since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, and how much more, having reconciled, shall we be saved through this life? Not only in this, we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've now received reconciliation. I'm not going to read all of it right there, but basically to sum this up, this whole passage up, if we go down here, we are made complete in Christ. So folks, when he sent his son Jesus, and we could flip, there's verses all over this book that we could cover today. But like John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he sent his son to die for us so we may have life. You know, he sent his son so that it was finished. It was finished. You know, I know Easter was just a couple of weeks ago, a month ago or so. I think the resurrection Sunday is awesome, but I think we need to remember the resurrection every day. Every day when we wake up, knowing the fact that our God loved us so much that he sent his only son to die for us, and it was finished. All the sins are finished. Now, there's some things we've got to cover here, because that doesn't give us a free pass or a free ticket to just keep on sinning. Because, man, that'd be easy. That'd be really easy. But God doesn't want us to do that. You know, I think that's the only time, because God doesn't get mad. But I think he gets frustrated with us when we hold ourselves back, when we feel guilty and we feel just worthless, like a piece of junk. When you feel like you've got a salvage title dragging around behind you. That's where he gets frustrated, because don't you realize, put your name there. He's like, Corey, don't you realize that what I did for you? Did you not see that? I mean, did you not see my son up there on that cross? Did you not see that? I mean, was that a dream? No, it was not a dream. But we are made complete in Christ through the death of him, because he loved us that much. And if we go down here, some of these footnotes are really good. It says, if we remember these two sides of Christian life, which reads the two sides of Christian life. On one hand, we are complete in Christ. And on the other hand, we are growing in Christ. So we're trying to be more like him. Trying to be more like him the whole time. And that is where we get into a dilemma, because we are trying to be more like him. But you know, us feeling guilty and us feeling like we're not worth anything, that holds us back for what he's created us to do. That is holding us back from our potential. Because every single one of you in here have so much potential, it's not even funny. It's not even funny. I mean, you could easily, I say that all the time. Like, I went to college at Northeast Oklahoma, and man, there were some kids that come through there, and I'm thinking, my gosh, like, what are they doing? Like, what are they doing? But then you got to stop and think, like, who am I to judge, first of all? And then I'm thinking, man, there's so much potential. If they could just see this, if they could just get a hold of this, if they could just get a hold of this, the things that God would do in their life would just be unfathomable. It'd be unreal. It would be unreal. And, you know, I didn't read verse chapter 4, verse 25, but I'm going to just skim over it right now in this service. It says, He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. So that sums it all up again. We are complete. We are made complete in Christ. Now I'm going to flip over. I'm going to flip over to chapter 2, or not chapter 2, 2 Corinthians. Let's see if we can flip there. They timed me this morning. But let's see here if I can find it. I had all this stuff bookmarked. I guess some of it fell out. You'll have that on these bigger jobs, won't you? All right, so in verse 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And basically what we're trying to say here, is back to the sending his son Jesus. We don't have to worry about what we've done. We don't have to worry about it. Now I'm getting ready to get to the part nobody likes, where it says, should we keep on sinning? But even if we go down to chapter 6 in 2 Corinthians, verse 2, it says, I tell you, it's now the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. And basically what he's saying, God offers salvation to everybody. To every single person. And many people put off the decision for Christ thinking that there will be a better time. There'll be a better time. You know, I feel bad about this deal. You know, I said something to my neighbor. It'll just go away with time. Well, no, it won't. Now is the time. There's no better time than the present. No better time than the present to receive God's forgiveness. Don't let anything hold you back from becoming more like him. Right now is the time. Right now is the time. And you know, this morning earlier in the first service, I told a bunch of people, I said, y'all, probably a bunch of you need to make phone calls after this service. And, you know, how many of you guys, and this is just a short example, how many of y'all ever worked cattle with your dad? I see some hands go slow. Are anybody sitting by their son or their dad? Hands are slowly going up. No, I tell you what, that's the most stressful time at our house when we go to work cows. And you know, my dad and I, you know, even you're thinking, gosh, Corey, you're preaching to us. Well, yeah, I'm going to make mistakes. I make mistakes just like everybody else. And my dad and I say some things to each other sometimes that we don't necessarily mean, but it comes out when we're working those cows. For some reason, I don't know, maybe cattle aren't a good thing. I don't know. I don't know. But I also shared an example earlier today. I played baseball in high school. And I know sometimes I go off emotion a lot, and which we're going to talk about feelings and emotion here in just a second, about feeling guilty. When I run off emotions when I was pitching, like if I would give up a base hit, I would be so mad. Like especially, you know, if the game was tight and nobody needed to be on base, or I walked somebody, I'd put my glove up and I'd say something maybe I shouldn't have said, you know. And afterwards in the dugout, when I take my ball cap off, because I had Galatians 5:22 wrote on my ball cap, which has everything to do with patience, because that's one thing I struggle with a lot. Maybe I need to look at that one before we go work cows next time. But I take my ball cap off, and every time I'd see it, I'm like, my gosh, I can't believe I said that. And, you know, for a while, I felt bad. For a long time, I felt really bad. And then I realized, okay, first of all, my attitude needs to change. I said, you're going to walk somebody every once in a while. You're going to give up a base hit every once in a while. Every once in a while, there's going to be a calf get by the gate that's not supposed to be in that pen. Every once in a while, it's going to happen. But, you know, the more... we get into this word, the more we get into this word, the better off we are. And I've got some modern technology, which is great when it works, on my iPad here, a slideshow. I've stole some stuff from Joyce Meyer, and I forgot to play that song, didn't I? But that's okay. Well, I'll play it here in a second. It might make more sense now since we're kind of into this. But, you know, that's an odd question. You're thinking, why are we talking about forgiveness? It's such an odd question for a believer. But, you know, I'm not just talking to believers today. I'm talking to maybe some people here that don't know him today. Maybe that don't know who Jesus is. Maybe you're thinking, well, you know, there's no way that God would ever accept me. I mean, do you know my last name? I mean, do you know the reputation I have in this town? Do you know the stuff that I said about what's his name last week after the ball game? Or do you know what I said about such and such at the beauty shop? Ladies, I'm just kidding. Or the barbershop, man. No, but it's forgiveness. And I think this is one of the biggest struggles we face as a church and as believers. And a verse I want to remember is 1 John. I know they've got... did you guys put that up there? I don't remember if you did or not. 1 John 1, chapter, verse 9 says that if we repent and confess our sins, God is faithful to forgive us. And I think we need to really take a hold of that. And I think that is a verse that we need to write down in your feed truck, or write down on your baseball hat, or right underneath your cowboy hat, or something. We need to write that down somewhere and memorize that. And let's go ahead and play that song. I know I jumped around. I feel like I like this order a lot better. Just listen to the words of this song. You know, I think that song went right along with what we're saying today. You know, some of us have some rips in our jeans, and we're going to stumble sometimes, and sometimes we're going to feel like we got a salvage title. We're going to feel like we got a salvage title. We got all this guilt. We get me, y'all, like I said, last name. That's a good one. That's a good one right there. But let's flip back over here, back into the notes. But basically, we need to memorize that 1 John 1:9, and just realize that He loves us. He just loves us so much. We need to confess our sins. Confess them to one another. I know I got a buddy. That buddy I was telling you about that was struggling with a marriage. You know, we talk all the time, and he's the one that tells, you know, we share things with each other that not everybody knows. And that really helps. It really helps a lot because, you know, just because you may think that you're the only one that's going through this, but you're not. You're not. You're not alone at all. You're not alone at all. And I know we've got a couple of more verses, but, you know, we're going to reflect off the 2 Corinthians for a few more moments here, this chapter 5. You know, God brings us back to himself, reconciles us, uploading out our sins and making us righteous. We are no longer God's enemies or strangers or foreigners to him when we trust in him. So, you know, we got to trust in him. We've got to believe. If you don't believe that his forgiveness is real, then we're missing something here. Because it is for real. It is for real. And we need to flip back. We need to flip back to 1 Corinthians now. And it says, 1 Corinthians 13:13, it says, "Now these three things remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest is love." You know that third song we sang? How did it go? What was the chorus? Somebody remind me, where's the band at? Yeah, your love is deep. Your love is deep. What'd you say? Your love is deep, but the greatest is love. Faith, hope, and love are the three things he gave us, but the greatest is love. And that love comes with forgiveness. That love has everything to do with forgiveness. Love. Love. And that's another verse I think we need to write down. 1 Corinthians 13:13, if y'all are making notes. Faith, hope, and love are the three things he gives us. And Alan Jackson's got a song about that. But the greatest is love. Okay, so now we're going to get back into the scripture here. Kind of lost where I was at. We've kind of been, I've been jumping around a little bit. But we have another script. What scripture have we not read? Do what? Go to Romans 6. I've lost all my notes. Okay, yeah, Romans 6. This is the part that nobody likes. Do we have a free ticket to sin? Absolutely not. Let's read it. It says, "What shall we say then? Shall we just keep going on and sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. But those who have died to sin, how can we live it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us that were baptized into Christ, Jesus, were baptized into his death?" So here's the question, or here's the deal. If we proclaim to know him, first of all, I think we're going to fail. I mean, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that your life's going to be perfect, because mine is far from perfect. But this chapter 6, we need to go back to it a lot. We cannot continue to fail. There's ways out of it. There's ways out of it. There's ways of avoiding it. I don't think we can avoid every situation. I don't think we can avoid every situation, but we can avoid 95% of those situations by memorizing these verses. And if we go to Jeremiah 29:11, whatever the struggles we're going through, you just got to remember that God has got the plan. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and plans not to harm you, but to give you hope in the future." He gives us that hope in the future through love, through love. Remember, the greatest is love. The greatest gift is love. And if we go down back to Romans 6, it says, "Shall we keep on sinning? No. But God loves to forgive." He loves to forgive us. So maybe you're at that point. You're at that point in the road where you just can't feel like you can get away from this. But he loves to forgive. So why not give him more to forgive? If forgiveness is guaranteed, why do we have the freedom to sin as much as we want? No. No. Such an attitude is going to get us in trouble. That attitude is going to get us in trouble. But we can get out of it. We can get out of it. We can get out of it. We cannot keep going on sinning. And you know, when it comes to forgiveness, I told that first service, you know, maybe some of you guys need to make some phone calls. Maybe you made your neighbor mad or something. And maybe you said some words to him. And, you know, and I've been there. I've been in these situations before. You know, the last 7 years, I figured my dad and I have, we've butted heads. Oh my gosh, it's been like, gosh, I thought we were going to fight sometimes. It's been bad. It's been bad. And I think every father and son relationship's like that at some point. But you know, there were some things that happened in our family and some deals that happened, and I just put the barrier up, and for a long time I never could forgive him. And in the past year I've been able to forgive him, and he's forgiven me for the things, the words that we shared when we were working cattle. It all goes back to that cattle deal. But I haven't been able to forgive him for a long time, but I finally did, and I told him. You know, I just called him one day, and I said, "Hey, thanks for everything you do for me. I love you." And, you know, you talk about humbling. Talk about a humbling situation when you're going through something and you feel like you're right. You feel like you're right, but you just got to humble yourself. You got to humble yourself and just make that call. You got to make that call. And I know some of you guys have got some phone calls to make after the service. There was 9 people this morning that came up to me after the first service and said, "I'm going to be on the phone all afternoon." But praise God, right? Praise God, because we cannot, yes. Praise God. We can't keep doing this. We cannot keep doing this, because Romans chapter 6 says that. But you know, I think the questions is we're getting close. This is short today, and a lot of you guys are thinking, yes, the Baptists are going to eat. We're going to beat the Baptist. It's okay. I'm a Nazarene. Nazarenes, Baptists are close to the same thing. But we've got to get this straightened out. So maybe I got 2 questions for you today. Maybe you've been living your life like you should, and you've made some mistakes. You got a guilty conscience. Maybe in your marriage you've said some things to your wife that weren't very godly, and it's affected everything. Maybe you're on the verge. Maybe your marriage is almost. Maybe it's almost gone because neither one of you guys can come to the conclusion that forgiveness is everything. And you know, God forgives us, so why can't we forgive somebody else? He forgives us. And we're supposed to be like him. We're supposed to be just like him. So maybe that's you today. Maybe you've been living for him and you've made some mistakes. Well, I'm going to tell you, make your calls after church. I know I've got a couple. I've got a couple of calls I got to make after church today on my way home. Or maybe you don't know Jesus. Maybe you're thinking, gosh, Corey, you don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. You don't know my situation. Well, you know what? I don't know your situation, but I know somebody who does. And he loves you so much, he's just waiting for you. He's got his arms open wide. He's saying, come on. Come on down. Come on down. Because I love to forgive people. I love it. It's one of his favorite things to do. God made us new. We don't have to walk around and have a salvage title hanging over our shoulder. We don't have to have a chip on our shoulder because of what somebody said or what somebody did to us or maybe something that we did to somebody. My goodness, people. Let's grow up. Grow up. Let's quit walking around with salvage titles. Can we do that? Can we do that? Can we leave all of that here today and just not have any burdens on us? Forget the hail damage. Forget the cow kicking your door in. Forget it. Forget it. God loves you. I'm talking to 2 sides today. Wow. He loves you. He loves you. I know some of you guys have got phone calls to make, so let's pray. Dear Lord, I just thank you so much, Father, for this church. And Father, I just thank you for this message. Father, I know that you're speaking to me. And God, if you just speak to me today, that's fine. But God, I know that somebody else here, needed this. And Father, I just thank you for your power of forgiveness. Father, I thank you that the greatest gift that you give us is love. Father, you sent your only Son, Jesus, to die on the cross, Father, so we don't have to worry about it anymore. God, it was finished. It was finished. And you love to forgive us. Father, I also lift up Bo, Pastor Bo, and all the leadership here at the church. Father, I pray that you just guide and direct them as this church on their journey with their new building and all their financial situations. Father, we trust you today. We trust you and we believe in this. And Father, we ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Corey Keith at Thousand Hills Ranch Church in Woodward, Oklahoma. Please join us again next Sunday at 9 or 10:30 a.m. at the Woodward Livestock Auction.
I'm a riding fool who is up to date. I rode every trail in the Lone Star State. I roamed the range in my Ford V8. Yippee-yi-oh, tie-hey.